Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. My name is Wilma Wolfenstein. I'm interviewing Mrs. Bell Stock on November 20th, 1995. Would you give your address?
1124 Fairfield Street, Fairfield Street. 15201.
Thank you. What we first like to ask you about is your immediate family. Anything you'd like to tell about your parents, your siblings, anything in your background, in your family's background?
Okay, in any order?
Yes.
Okay.
As it comes to you.
I have four children. And I have 13 grandchildren. 11 of them are blood children, and the other two are married into the family.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them live in Pittsburgh now. The oldest one lives here. His name is David. And the second one is Lee. He lives in Chicago. And the third one is Bob. He lives in San Diego. And the fourth one lives here, and it's my daughter Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
And she lives not too far from here. And my oldest son has three children, a boy and two girls, and a son-in-law. And my second one has three boys from the first wife, and two little girls from the second one.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one's not married, and the fourth one has three children. Two of them are in college, and one is here with her.
Quite an extended family.
Yeah, right. It's very nice, too. They're all nice kids.
Is there anything about your own parents?
But my parents are both
home. Of course.
Yes. My mother was 93 when she died. She had all her marbles. So I'm looking forward. I'm losing mine already, so I don't know what's going to happen. And my father was 91. I had two brothers. One's gone. The other one was in Alexandria, Jr.
Mm-hmm. Were they all, were your parents born here?
No, they were both born in Russia.
I see.
I was born here. I'm first generation.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about your early years, your home life?
Okay, well, I was one of three children. I was the oldest and had two brothers. The older of the two is gone, and as I said before, the younger one is born, it lives in Alexander, Virginia. And I was raised in a small town in Ambridge, which is down the river.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyed small town living, and we didn't live so far away that we couldn't get into Pittsburgh whenever we wanted to. In fact, I was interested for a while in the I don't know what they're calling it. What are they calling the thing that they're moving down to the down on Butler Street or down on Penn Avenue? It's on O'Hara now.
Mm-hmm.
It's next door to the, you know, they're moving all that stuff down. It's not just Jewish.
Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah, right. And I was doing some work with them. But I had to quit because I can't stand, and there's no point in just doing it just haphazardly. I went to school in Ambridge, graduated from high school. My husband was from Ambridge, and we were married and moved into Pittsburgh. And of course, we have four children. He's gone a long time, 30 years now.
Any memories of those years that stand out in your mind?
Well, I have a lot of memories.
Yeah.
I mean, all you have to do is, I should say, touch my pipic and I'm off to the races.
Mm-hmm.
And they were good years. They were very good years. We didn't have a lot of excitement and we didn't have a lot to do. And of course, I don't have to tell you there was no television, but we got along very well. And the train schedules into Pittsburgh were very, very many. I mean, there were many trains, so we didn't have to worry. And I worked in Ambridge in the high school. And I went to Beach High School. The same way. And I worked in the office. No, after I graduated.
After graduating.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was a secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Carnegie Mellon just for a year at night. It was just too hard because I had to practically run from work, have my dinner, get on the train and go. But I enjoyed that very much. Mm-hmm.
What courses did you take?
English.
Mostly English.
Mm-hmm. And then we moved to, when we were married, we moved to Pittsburgh. We moved to Squirrel Hill. And my husband went, he was in the Army because he was in medical school, and then he was in the, he graduated medical school, but he never practiced medicine. He was in a laboratory. And when he went, then I had one child, and he went to the Army, and we went to Alexandria, Virginia. But the younger years, we just had a good life. One of my grandchildren asked me what kind of a life we had. No television, no this, no that, no anything else. We had a good life. I think we had a better life than they did. And we went around. We did all kinds of nice things. We belonged to. We didn't have Hadassah. We had the National Council of Jewish Women. And I was very active with them as a junior. And then after I got older, became active as a senior member. We did a lot of very, very nice things, and we knew everybody in town. Everybody knew us. It was a very ethnic town, but with not too much trouble as far as being Jewish is concerned. There was, in fact, once a year they have a street fair, and they have 27 booths, which represent the 27 ethnic people who were in the town. Yeah. German, Polish, Slovak, Slovenian, not too many Jewish, but we did have, in later years, we had a nice little shul, and our Kuka, which is across the river, had a nice little shul, but theirs went out finally and we combined.
Were you brought up Orthodox?
Yes. Well, you know, you say Orthodox, but I don't know, my mother kept the kosher house, and came to Pittsburgh to buy all her meats and stuff. I tell you, I don't. But she did, and we knew all. We celebrated all the holidays, which we still do. We studied. I didn't study Hebrew because at that time they had no Hebrew teachers. You had to bring the star was to bring a teacher in for the boys to be bar mitzvah. So I didn't have that privilege. But we had a very, very good Sunday school, which was connected to the Southwestern District. And that combined all the small towns around, and we had a wonderful time.
Oh, yeah.
Because we went from place, we went to, we were visiting towns. Then, Alcott was just across the river, but we didn't get over there very much because there was no way to get there. You had to go all the way up to Midland, which is quite a distance. And then they built the bridge, from Ambridge to Alcott, or from Alcott to Ambridge. And when they did that, then there were more Jewish boys and girls. Young men and young women.
Yeah.
And we had lots of fun. And, as old as I am, the times were different then than they are now. So we followed the fashion. And so they came to the house to dance. Or we had picnics in the backyard. Or, we were never, never out of something to do. I don't know what else to tell you. Never learned to swim because we weren't allowed to go into the river. But we went to Swickard, which is a town closer to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go there to swim in the pool, YMCA.
Was your father in business?
Yeah, my father went to, my father was a tenor by vacation, but he worked for the railroad. And when railroad went out on strike in what, 19, I forget, but anyway, he refused to scab. So he had a family, so somebody offered to take him in his apartment in the food business. And they went out on the street, they huxed him. And then after that, he had his own food store. And of course, we all helped in the store. And we lived, before we came back to Ambridge, we lived in Ambridge. Then we lived in Rochester, which is up farther. Then we went to Beaver Falls. And Beaver Falls had a Sunday school, and they drew from the whole this whole section. So we met the kids up there too.
Mm-hmm.
And then we came back to Ambridge. And that was our last stop. We moved a lot because my father always thought, well, maybe he could do better someplace else. And it didn't materialize. So we moved again. But that didn't make too much difference. We didn't seem to mind too much.
Mm-hmm.
So excuse me, just a moment, please. I was born July 16th, 1913, and I was born in Pittsburgh. Because we lived in Pittsburgh before we moved down. I was 2 when we moved to Ambridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then from then on, it was coming and going.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little about your teen years, not so much in detail, but
well, I think there's too much detail. As they say, we weren't too many Jewish young people, but we all stuck together. We didn't have we had one friend whose father was in the cleaning business, and he helped him during the week, so he gave him the truck on Sunday, so we could use the truck to go wherever we wanted. And then my mother had everybody come to our house and rolled up the rug and we danced and we sang and summertime picnics and did all the things that sometimes I wish the kids would do today, because we had a good time. I think in many ways we had a better time than they do today. Unless it's nostalgia, but the things, I don't know, many things I think are just better today than they were. And as I say, I went to school, went to high school. And there wasn't that much more to do.
So you said you did try Carnegie Mellon for...
I just went in the evening. I went 1 year. Right, I just went 1 year. Mm-hmm. It got to be too hard. It was too much of a push.
Now, that was when you were still living at home.
Before I was married. Yes, that's right.
And how did you meet your husband?
Oh, we knew each other always.
You always knew.
Right, they lived in Ambridge too. They lived there, he must have been about 5. Yeah, we knew each other, always.
Mm-hmm. And you say he went to medical school?
Yes, he went to Pitt. He went to Pitt Medical School. And he had always decided he didn't want to be a practicing medical doctor. Although I don't know why, because he was very, very good. He was an excellent diagnostician. Very brilliant man. Kind as well as brilliant. And, he worked at the children's hospital. He had a laboratory in the children's hospital. And then when they moved up on the hill, the Moore building across from the stadium, they moved their laboratories up there, and that's where he worked.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went into the Army he was always in the Army because I don't know if it still works now, but the medical students had to be in the reserve corps, and he was in that, so he was one of the first to be called. And we went to Alexandria, Virginia in February, before war was declared in December, so we went a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were around the country. We were in Texas, and we were in near Washington. We were at Fort Belvoir.
You had children? One child.
We had one child then, right. Mm-hmm. And then we went to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in Texas for a while, and then from there they shipped them overseas. And I came home pregnant with the second one, and we had the one. And
you came home
to my mother, my mother and father, yeah. And I stayed there during the whole time. And then once he was shipped out, he was gone for 35 months. No relief at all. No relief at all. You know, I'm still bitter to this day. And it was only last year that I let them put a flag on my husband's grave. because my son said that, no, he was the highest ranking officer. Why are you doing this? I said, I don't even want to see a flag on his grave. They didn't do anything right. Started with nothing and never relieved them. And here all these other people who were making lots of money and he didn't have anything. And I was discouraged.
For 3 years you didn't see him?
No. Never came back. In fact, my second son, the one who's in Chicago now, was 2.5 when he got back. Never saw him. He was born after he left. But I lived with my mother and father all those years.
Mm-hmm.
And they were good to me, of course, and helped me as much as they could. And how we got this house, because they wouldn't let me pay anything in rent or anything, so I just took all the money and saved it.
Mm-hmm.
And we built this one after he came.
Mm-hmm.
And then we lived in over across the street. We couldn't find a place. Nobody would ever send their children. They didn't need us. I mean,
after the war.
Yeah. Right.
And there was such a short.
Right. And they were glad not to take whoever they didn't want. So we lived across the street for a year, and we built this one over here. And then we never sent them. And then the fourth and the girl was born here.
Mm-hmm.
In this house.
Mm-hmm. Well, how was it when your husband came back and met this little boy?
It's really wonderful, because the first one was always very shy. And the second one, he met my husband, hi Dad, and that's all there was to it. I mean, we had his picture and pictures on the place and talked to him and about him. So he didn't have any trouble that way. And then, of course, the third one was born after his house.
We already have your children's names. Did you continue in the Jewish, to follow the Jewish
tradition? Yeah, we joined. Well, my oldest son was bar mitzvah, which they didn't call it young people then, that's what they call it. But anyway, when the second one was ready to go, then we joined the Bnei Israel. And the children were all bar bat mitzvah, confirmed, or whatever, Bnei Israel. And then after my husband died, the superintendent of the Rebbe Shalom was a very good friend of mine, and I needed a job desperately. So I went to him, and I said, "Look, what can you do for me?" I don't know.
When was that? What year?
That was, my husband died in 1967,
mm-hmm.
So that was then, right after that,
mm-hmm.
Right. So he did. He gave me a job in the library, and I taught in the Sunday school, and they were very generous. They gave me a holiday ticket for every holiday, and then I finally decided that's enough, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been on ever since.
You made the leap to the reform.
Right. No great big problem, except that the first time I heard somebody blow instead of the shofar blow the French horn, I went home. I couldn't quite hear. But I got used to it, and I like it very much. And the people were all very good to me, very kind. And I liked being in the library, and I liked teaching the kids, and so I was.
What classes did you teach?
Wherever they needed me. Yeah, right. I had a lot of Sunday school. That was one of the things we had a lot of in Andrews. There was a woman whose name was Elizabeth. I was just talking about her the other day, and she demanded all the kids to learn everything they could learn. And she was the head of the whole Southwestern district. Wonderful. Amber Jalacripa, Elwood City, mm-hmm. And the whole gamut. So I was well versed in that sort of thing, so I had no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And did you follow the usual celebrations at home, I suppose?
Oh, sure. Well, they do anyway, so just reform.
Of course.
Yeah, well, so I knew, and we just did what we were supposed to do.
Before a regular job, I imagine you were pretty active.
A job where?
Before you got this job at the Rotary Showing.
Well, that I got the job right away because, as I say, I just went to Stanley and I said, look, Stanley, you know, I'm not playing. But see, I need money. I need something to live on. My husband's gone and I have four kids and I need it.
How old were your children?
Now?
That at that point.
Well, at that time, my husband died in 67 and my oldest son is now 56. He was born in 39. And my youngest was born in 49. And then in between, two boys in between.
Mm-hmm. So, were they still with, I'm trying to figure out where they were in 1967. Did you still have the children at home?
Oh, yeah, I still had them at home. Mm-hmm. None of them went. Only my daughter went to school out of the city. And the reason she went out of the city was because my husband, of course, got free tuition since he was on the faculty at Pitt. So there was no question. Now, you know, when I hear, what do you want to do, honey? I wonder who they're talking to. Honey, you just go to Pitt. That's all there was to it. It's free tuition and you go. But when it came to my daughter, she wanted to go away, and we felt already she's the last. Let her go. So she went, and she went to Michigan.
Oh, really?
But she had just started in September. She came home in December for the Christmas holidays. Mm-hmm. Went to town one day and came back, and we told her, your father's gone. Mm-hmm. He just went, yeah. Mm-hmm. So she didn't want to go back to school, but I insisted. I said, look, if this is my life, you're not going to change it. So you go back where you belong. And the youngest son was going into the Peace Corps, and I said, you know, just go. You've got to go. That's your life, and you've got to go. So he only stayed a year in the Peace Corps. So he went to Tunisia. And they were changing their government there at that time, and it was a lot of disruption. They were glad to have an American leave. So he came back home. And he wanted to go on to school. He had his bachelor's by that time, but he wanted to take his master's. Again, he didn't have any money. So I said, Bud, the house is empty. Come home and see how it works. If it's good, just stay. If it isn't good, I won't be angry to leave. After all, that's your life, this is mine. So 6 years later when he left, he said, you know what, we must have done something wrong. We're still friends. And he stayed at home. He stayed here for 6 years, went back to school, got his master's, got his PhD, and then he got a job in San Diego. And he's been there since.
Mm-hmm.
And he teaches at San Diego.
What is that there?
Public administration.
Mm-hmm.
And my second was an ophthalmologist. And he's interested in cornea.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the oldest one is a musician, and he has the new music here. Mm-hmm. And his son now has the old music.
So what were some of your interests during this period, really the period when the children were growing up?
Well, first of all, everybody's interest was PTA. I mean, that was the hub of our living. And the shul. I mean, everybody. I mean, that seems, that was a hub. There was no question. You were active in the shul, and you were active in your PTA, and you were active in, I belonged to a lot of organizations, and I did a lot of work for them. Always volunteered. Yeah, but always volunteered.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very much interested in some of the programs that are they ask for volunteers. Like right now, I'm on a, I just finished. I just finished a project with Alzheimer's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I did osteoporosis.
What did you do for me?
Well, they have questionnaires. They have, I was a control. Now, last year, I didn't do too much this year, but last year they had a program where they did a lot of MRIs.
Mm-hmm.
I did 5 MRIs in 1 year. It didn't bother me, so I just did it, and I just went every time. And about 6 weeks ago, I finished a project, and when I asked why, what they wanted to do with it, they said they were trying to keep older people. You know, present company accepted. They didn't mean me. But anyway, they were trying to keep older people in their own homes. So what they did was we went to the Monitor Hospital, and they tested, and they gave tests, and saw you dress and undress and see how much you could help yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came to my house once, and we did it again. Now I'm waiting for them to call me for the last. And then they'll come again, and they'll review what I had done before and see whether I've gone backwards or forwards or stayed in one place. And I'm able to take care of myself.
Thank you. More current.
Right. Well, and at that time, as I said, I was always interested in music.
Mm-hmm.
And we always went to the opera, and we went to concerts, and
mm-hmm.
we had a full life.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't long enough, but we had a full life.
Along with social life.
Oh yeah, I've always had a lot of friends, and
mm-hmm.
they stayed with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They were interested in things I was interested in, and if they couldn't take me, I went by myself, and if I didn't go myself, I didn't go. You know, I mean, it's been a long, long, long time, and sometimes it's not so bad, sometimes you forget, sometimes you forget.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It'll be 30 years you have to forget a little bit.
What about travel?
Oh, I did a lot of travel.
Aside from changing homes?
No. We did a lot of traveling. Mm-hmm. Because first of all, my husband was used to be sent to a lot of conferences.
Yeah.
And I had one shtick, really. It doesn't work the same now as it did then. But the European countries, you went to a hotel, you rented a room, and two people could stay, or three people, or whatever. It isn't like a twin or a double or whatever. And I used to say, promise I won't eat a thing, and I'll sleep in the same bed, I'm going. And my mother was very, very generous at her time. I never asked her, but she always seemed to sense when he was ready to go, and she'd come, it wasn't time to go, and she always stayed with the kids.
Oh, okay.
Until they were teens. And then they were here one time, and my middle son was driving too. They used to have these gigs, you know. And he was driving. We had a very bad snowstorm. And my father was with her here at the time. And he walked the floor the whole night until the kid came home. And she said, that's it. Well, I'm home, and you stay home. And when we came home, she said, that's it. So, but that time they were old enough to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But we did a lot of travel. I had been in Europe for, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 times. And we took the children to Paris for a year. They were in Paris
for a whole year.
Yeah, my husband was, he went to the Pasteur Institute. And although we couldn't afford it, we took the kids with us anyway. We managed. And they were there for a whole year. They learned the language.
The French school?
Well, the oldest one was interested in music already, so he went to music school, and so did the second one. The third one knew no French at all, so he went to a French school, and he's the one who still, starts to speak French, people who don't know him think that he's from France. Very, very, very good. And the youngest one, she was in the fifth grade here, but she only knew Mr. Rogers' French. So they put her in the first grade. But it wasn't long. It was good. Thank goodness, they're all very, very bright. And it wasn't long until she moved up and did very well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened with them. We were there a year. And as I said, my youngest of the three boys went to Tunisia to the Peace Corps. He went after his father there.
I'm just going to check. I'd like to ask you now about your grandchildren. Tell us about your children. Would you like to know about grandchildren?
Well, let me start with the oldest one. The oldest one is David. David lives here in Pittsburgh. And his son, who's the oldest of all the grandchildren, heads up an old music group. And they play old instruments, violin, djembe, harpsichord, and he plays the recorders.
Mm-hmm.
That's Jeffrey. His name is Jeffrey, right.
Right, and then...
He works in a record store and makes as much money as he can where he can make it.
He also plays the shofar very well.
In fact, I was going to Dora Hadash for the second day this year, but I don't think they went. I don't know if they didn't go or what happened, but I didn't go. Or maybe I didn't have a ride. And the next one is Rachel, and she's going to be a cantor. She's studying in New York, and she has an internship in a reform, of course that's reform, and she has an internship in a reform temple. And they have spent the first year in Jerusalem. And her husband's going to be a rabbi. And he's doing his student rabbi in Manassas right here. So we got to go up to hear him twice already. In fact, last Friday he took Jeffrey over to him. Jeffrey was the cantor while he was the rabbi. So they were helping each other out. The third one is Sarah. And she went to school in Rochester, New York, and now she's in New York studying. She's quite an actress and a singer, but she decided that, I think she must have seen the light, and she decided acting wasn't for her. So she's doing some sort of with drama, something with drama, and she has to go 2 years. So they're coming home for Thanksgiving, everybody. Not here, they're coming to their mother and father. That's one family. Now, the next family, that's Lee, and he has three boys. And his three boys, the first one, he did some of his time in London, at the London School of Economics, but he went to a school, you know, I can never remember the name. It's a little school up in Wisconsin. Very well known, if I hear it, I'll know. And the third one goes to the University of Illinois. He wants to be an actor. And he said he's going to be an actor no matter what happens. He'll scrub floors, he'll pop popcorn, he'll do anything, and he's going to be an actor. Apparently, I haven't seen him, but he's supposed to be very, very good. And then my son got married again. He has two little girls, and they're only 8 and 4. So we don't know what they're going to do. They're lively. We don't know what they're going to do. Now, the third one is not married, and he's the one who teaches at San Diego State. And the fourth one is my daughter, and she has three children. And the two go to... Okay. Am I going too fast for you?
Oh, it's all right.
Okay. Yeah, okay. And my daughter's children, two of them go to college. Unfortunately, the daughter wanted to go away, but after she went and looked at the colleges, she said, that's not for me. I think Pitt is going to be fine, and I won't have to worry again with money. And I won't have to worry about how am I going to get home when I want to get home. And if she really wants to come home, her mother goes down and gets her. So that's those two. And then the third one is 12, and he goes to Rosenstein. So that's the family. Fortunately, and I say this very fortunately, they're all very bright. And the two that are at Pitt now, they got scholarships. And they were able to borrow money, and so they're all on their way. So they're all doing well.
How old is Jeff?
Jeff is 31.
He's the oldest guy.
Yeah.
How, I'm sure you get together a lot with them, since so many of them are in the
city.
No,
I don't, everybody's so busy. I called Jeffrey last week. Our Hadassah group was having a program in December. I don't know why I took the chairmanship, because I'm not able to do too much, but I took it, and I asked the people, the women, if they were interested. He would give them the program on recorders,
mm-hmm.
and the different kinds of recorders, and play and do things like that. And they said, oh yeah, I thought nobody would want them. I wouldn't feel hurt if they said no. Everybody said yes. So I called him to tell him that I knew his picture, and so on and so forth. It took almost a week before he called back. Because in the interim, he had gone out of town with his group, and then on Sundays, he had gone to he works in a record shop, and he had done that. And then they do, did you ever hear Gateway to Music in the schools?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they do that too, but that's the whole group.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they have their own concerts, 4 concerts a year. And they're very good, by the way. Most people, everybody doesn't like David's music, but everybody likes Jeffrey's. Well, as I said to one of my friends, she said they played a very, very new, not a contemporary, but a new music at David's concert. And she said, oh, I like that. I said, well, how many times have you heard it? She said, oh, maybe 100. And I said, how many times did you hear the others? Never heard them before. You know, so how can you like what you never heard before? And I'm not the musical one. Somebody has to clap, so I'm the clapper.
But something like that, you get when you get together with them.
Oh, yes, because Celia's going to have dinner, and Ruthie will bring what she's going to bring. I got out. I'm going to go and sit and get some food. Mm.
Yeah,
so
nice.
Jeff, Adam, that's Rachel's husband, and Rachel and Sarah are coming from New York.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey is here, and my son from San Diego isn't coming because he's coming in December, and he can't do both. So he's coming on the 25th of December because you can get a plane out on the 25th. Nobody wants to fly on Christmas Day. And I'm going to have an eye operation. He wanted to come for that. I don't know what to do for him. But anyway, he wanted to come. His bedroom is ready. He can come whenever he wants to.
Do you have any hobbies? I know you're very active with these groups like Hadassah.
Yeah, I like to knit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when my eyes are a little bit better, I read a lot. Now I'm just a couch potato.
Yeah.
But I'm I am because I'm interested in their politics, and so you can get a lot. I watch CNN, and I watch the programs that are coming directly from the Senate and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very exciting, and why shouldn't you know what goes on?
And as far as religion is concerned nowadays, how are you active?
No, I'm not too active because unless my daughter takes me, I get access.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to the St. Francis Hospital to an arthritis clinic twice a week. So when I go there twice a week and I take access, and then I do something else maybe once a week or something, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
I get tired and that's enough. Now there for Sparkle Night. My daughter's son sang with Pitt Glee Club. So, of course, we went down to hear him sing. So that was nice. And whenever they can take me, they take me. And when they can't, they won't. And my daughter does as much shopping for me as she can. But I begin to feel like an albatross. I really do, because she's so busy and she works so hard, and here I am. So, anyway, she brings me what she can. And she knows what I need.
And you said she lives fairly close to you.
Yes, she lives down on Butler Street, off Butler Street, 42nd Street, Central. You can't walk, that's it.
It's 43, if I can see. Next question has to do with neighborhood, and I suppose that means, I find it kind of a little hard to understand, anti-Semitism.
Well, I can tell you about that very easily. We had quite a few Jewish neighbors on the street at one time, but we've always had everything from Danish to the only thing we've never had, no blacks have ever been down the street, and they still haven't. the Jewish people that moved out were of my vintage, and most of them moved out because they rented apartments or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But what's nice now is the people who have come in, not Jewish, but they have little children. And I noticed one day last summer, the door was open and I heard somebody hollering, "Ma, Ma," well, "Ma, Ma" means me, and I went out to see who was out there, wasn't mine. But our neighborhood has not changed. I mean, what changed their personality? But we don't go to anti-Semitism. We're isolated right here. There might be someplace else.
So basically, what you're saying is that it's not Jews who are moving into this neighborhood now.
No. No. But most of them are moving to Fox Chapel. Look, the mayor's just closing up. Dr. Schoen is closing up. I mean, they're all closing. They don't have anybody come anymore. And they're moving, they've been moving to the suburbs for many, many years.
Right.
Fox Chapel, South Hills, places like that. But they're not moving.
What about political connections? Have you been active in any?
No, I used to be. At one time, I was very, very interested. And last year, even though I didn't walk too well, they called me and they said, "We need somebody to come up to sit at the table." So I went.
Mm-hmm.
I went. I'm still interested.
Are you currently involved in Jewish and community institutions? Well, we talked about that. What about politics in the time of the war, depression, and prohibition? Were these factors any influence?
Not too much. After my husband left and we were with my mother and father, I wanted to go to work. I wanted to be Rosie. My mother said, "No way. They don't have a father. They need a mother." So I didn't go. But politics had very little. You went, you voted, you studied, you listened, but it didn't have too much influence in my life.
What about the time of depression?
We were lucky. Al Kripa had one big steel mill that was the JML, Jones and Laughlin.
Mm-hmm.
And when they went out early in the Depression, they went flat.
Mm-hmm.
Ambridge had, six or seven different kinds, rolling mills, a tube mill, bridge mill, all sorts of things. So we didn't get out until the very, very, very end. Mm-hmm. My father was in the freight business, so my mother took home everything that wasn't so good.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't know from hunger. I mean, that kind of hunger.
Yeah.
My father-in-law worked for the Bethlehem Steel, and they had a hard time. They had a rough time. What is that, Ann? Because I talk so fast that, you know, they don't have a chance to ask me. I don't tell.
Talk to us about your career, teaching, children. Could you contrast the way you were raised with the way you raised your own children in terms of permissiveness, changing mores, or anything like that?
I don't think there was too much. I was never very strict anyway. And I asked my youngest son, because he was here, so I got to talk to him more. And I said, "You know, Bobby, when I used to say, 'You better do it or else,' what did you think the or else was going to be?" He said, "We didn't want to know, so we didn't question." But I don't think too much, and I was lucky too. My children didn't smoke and didn't drink and didn't arouse too much, and they were good students and they went to school. So I think pretty much the same. And I see now that my children are raising their children pretty much the same way. We did a lot of traveling, six of us in a little car.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband got between 4 and 6 weeks off every year. So we used to pile into the car and take the tents and the whatever pots and pans and go. And I see they're doing pretty much the same thing.
Mm-hmm. How do you view your accomplishments and successes? What do you view as your most significant accomplishment?
I don't think I'm lucky. I really think I'm lucky. I have good kids, and they've never given me any real heartache other than most people have. And I think I've just been very, very lucky. It didn't last long enough, but I had a very good husband, a very brilliant man, he did his thing, I did my thing, there was never the anguish that you have that you see amongst the kids now. My daughter's divorced and my middle son was divorced. My daughter never, she said, I'm not married, you know, that's enough. And my son, as I said, has the three boys and not the two little girls.
In retrospect, is there anything you would do differently if you had your life to live over again?
Yes, I would have gone to school. I would have gone farther along to school. And the fact that I didn't go was my own fault. My brother was 5 years younger. And when I think of it now, how stupid can you get? I said, he has to go to school. I won't go. I'll get a job. Now, in 5 years, I could have had a job. I could have gone to school, and it would have been a different day. I don't miss it, because I think I've gone along with the world the best I could. But I think it would have been nice.
Mm-hmm.